One.
Good afternoon, brothers. This is State Deputy Greg Keller. Welcome to the 113th Annual Meeting of the Utah State Council, and I now call this meeting to order. As we open this virtual meeting, I would like to ask our State Chaplain, Father Eric Rechtsteig, to open with a prayer. Father Eric.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Mary, you always brighten our path as a sign of salvation and hope. We entrust ourselves to you, O health of the sick, who at the cross took part in Jesus' pain while remaining steadfast in faith. O loving Mother, you know what we need, and we are confident you will provide for us as at Cana in Galilee. Intercede with us, for us, with your Son Jesus, the divine physician, for those who have fallen ill, for those who are vulnerable, and for those who have died. Intercede also for those charged with protecting the health and safety of others, and for those who are attending to the sick and seeking a cure. Help us, O Mother of divine love, to comfort and to conform us to the will of the Father, and to do as we are told by Jesus, who took upon himself our sufferings and carried our sorrows, so as to lead us through the cross to the glory of the resurrection. Amen. Under thy protection we seek, O Holy Mother of God. In our needs, decide not our petitions, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father Eric. Let us begin to announcements that I need to make as we proceed with this virtual meeting. Know that this will be a unique experience for all of us, including your state officers, so I am grateful for your patience. Only delegates with proper credentials, as well as past state deputies, have the right to speak during this meeting. This is the same as floor rights during a typical state meeting. If someone with proper credentials wishes to speak, please hit *3. Once again, on your phone, hit *3, and you will be placed in the queue. Note that you may be contacted so that we may know your intention to alert me when to recognize you. This will especially be important during the nomination and election process. Please do not mute your phone. The system automatically mutes participants. This will speed up the process when being recognized to speak. Again, please do not mute your phone. Minutes of the 2019 State Convention and all reports of committees, reports of officers and program chairmen, resolutions, and the budget for the next fraternal year have been distributed for your review prior to this meeting. Our goal is to complete the required business in less than 90 minutes. So many items typically covered in a live state convention will be abbreviated or eliminated. I ask that everyone, especially delegates, stay connected until we have conducted and concluded this meeting. And here's the number you need to write down in case you don't have it already. If you are dropped, please rejoin this call-in process by dialing 877-228-2184. Once again, 877-228-2184, and enter event ID 119380. Once again, 119380. Due to the circumstances of this virtual state meeting, I have asked our State Secretary, Nick Nielsen, to serve as the Credentials Committee. I have also appointed State Advocate Bill Kelly to serve as our parliamentarian for this virtual meeting. To start this year's convention, we will now hear Supreme Knight Carl Anderson's address to the Utah State Council and delegates. Brother Anderson.
Brother Knight, it is good to speak to you in these challenging times. I applaud you for holding your convention via teleconference. The coronavirus pandemic has changed our daily lives, but it will not change our commitment to fraternity. This is not the first pandemic the Knights of Columbus has faced. In the late 19th century, and again in 1918, we remained strong and active as sickness spread. What was true then is true now. Why? Because we have remained true to the principles of the order. I have said before that where there's a need, there's a night. This is a time of great need, and once again, we must stand together to meet it. We have the financial strength to address the suffering we see around us. But more importantly, we have the fraternal strength to do the great works of charity that the times demand. As leaders of your jurisdiction, you have the responsibility to mobilize our efforts. Thank you for what you have already done. It is impressive. Your councils and your brother knights will continue to look to you for leadership. Continue to show them the Knights of Columbus way to put their faith into action. In March, we launched our new initiative, Leave No Neighbor Behind, to respond to this pandemic. It calls on all knights to support our brothers, support our parishes, and to support our communities, to feed the hungry, and to participate in blood drives. You and your councils are the linchpin of this order-wide effort to leave no neighbor behind. I would ask you to begin with the brothers in your council. Please contact every one of your members. Do they need a helping hand in some way during this pandemic? During this time, no brother knight should feel forgotten or left behind by the brothers of this council. And we should have the same approach to the members of our parishes and our neighborhoods. At the start of Holy Week, we announced a multi-million-dollar campaign to support food banks in the United States and Canada. We are providing urgent support to the hardest-hit communities and the neediest among us. Our initial commitment of $1,250,000 is only the first phase of this campaign. Many councils and individual knights have contributed to our effort, and this important work will continue in the days ahead. In addition to our charity, we are also standing strong for unity. With our church experiencing serious financial strain, the Order has established a $100 million church loan fund for dioceses in the United States and Canada that will offer dioceses a $1 million line of credit. This will help them weather the serious economic impacts of the crisis. In Rome, the Order is making it possible for the Vatican's Bambino Gesù Hospital to create a dedicated treatment area for infants afflicted with the coronavirus. We were proud to sponsor the Pope's Holy Week broadcasts, including his historic Urbi et Orbi blessing of the city of Rome and of the world in response to the pandemic. Pope Francis has called on all Christians to unite their voices to heaven. And I urge every knight and his family to pray our prayer for protection in time of pandemic. As the crisis continues, the need for charity and unity will continue to grow. The same is true of fraternity. With all in-person Knights of Columbus meetings and events canceled for the foreseeable future, we are finding new ways to bring our brother knights together. This convention is a sign of what's possible. And the Supreme Council will continue to provide guidance and support. We have expanded our monthly Nightline email to a new weekly edition, and each email contains practical and spiritual resources for our brother knights and their families. Our insurance agents and customer service team also remain available to help members with any insurance or related financial needs they may have. The challenges are great, but our determination to overcome them is greater still. And as we move through this pandemic together, the Knights of Columbus will be there. We will leave no neighbor behind. And we will forge ahead together as brother knights. I believe our response to this crisis will rank among the Order's finest hours. This fraternal year, the Knights of Columbus reached 2 million members. This is an historic milestone, and I thank all the brother knights who made this possible. The day I was elected your Supreme Knight, I said we have a moral obligation to offer the benefits of membership in the Knights of Columbus to every eligible Catholic man. Father McGivney's gift to us of this wonderful organization was never intended as a gift for only a few. It was always meant to be shared. Now, nearly 20 years later, I believe this more strongly than ever before. The more men who join, the more lives we will transform and communities we will serve. The more men we have, the more we will do for our parishes, and the more Catholic families we will strengthen. Now, a key component of our efforts going forward will be our new exemplification ceremony. It has already received an overwhelmingly positive response, and well it should. It teaches our lessons of charity, unity, and fraternity in a way that is compelling and grounded in the rich history of the Order. It will make it easier to bring men into our ranks and for those men to serve as council officers. This new ceremony provides a gateway to inspire the next generation of knights and strengthen councils across the globe. Now it is available in a virtual format when in-person ceremonials are not possible. Men join the Knights of Columbus for the benefits of belonging to our great Catholic Brotherhood. Our principles of charity and unity change lives for the better every day. And every day, we fulfill Father McGivney's dream of offering Catholic families financial protection they can depend upon through our commitment to insurance by Brother Knights for Brother Knights. The secret of our impressive growth is simple. Through the spiritual genius of Father McGivney, we have found a way to transform friends into brothers, brothers who are committed to one another. Today, the Knights of Columbus offers Catholic men a path of Christian discipleship, a path marked by the guideposts of charity, unity, and fraternity. It is a path we walk, not just one day a week, but 24/7. You can be proud that the business aspects of the Order have consistently been rated superior, and that we successfully compete, not in spite of, but because of, our commitment to Catholic principles. Last year, our agents issued nearly $9 billion in new insurance. We continue to have more than $100 billion of insurance in force, protecting the financial future of our Catholic families. As leaders of your jurisdiction, remember that your general and field agents can be your best partner in working to grow the Order. And we should all remember that our insurance program and our charitable work arise from the same source, our responsibility to provide for our families and for those in need. Last year, our Brother Knights gave more than $185 million to charity and volunteered more than 76 million hours. We fed the hungry, sheltered the homeless, donated more than 8,500 wheelchairs, and put coats on the backs of more than 117,000 children. I am proud that earlier in this fraternal year, Brother Knights from Mexico and the United States came together to provide food, water, and clothing to displaced families along the border, and especially to women and children. These efforts are in keeping with our long history of defending the downtrodden and the marginalized. We continue our efforts to rebuild Christian communities in Iraq, and when it comes to defending the right to life, the Knights of Columbus continues to lead the way. Just over 10 years ago, we launched a new initiative with the goal of placing 1,000 ultrasound machines in crisis pregnancy centers. We've not only met that goal, we've exceeded it. Today, we have placed more than 1,200 ultrasound machines in those centers. And as each ultrasound reduces the number of abortions by just one each week, then we will have saved more than 60,000 children in the coming year. Think of that. 60,000 children saved. As I have said before, this is the greatest humanitarian achievement in the history of the Knights of Columbus. But there is still much more for us to do. We must continue to rescue the unborn until that time when their lives are once again protected by law. In all we do, we seek a charity that evangelizes. The Lord has called us to be His witnesses, and especially to be His witnesses in our homes and in our parishes. This is why, several years ago, we launched the Building the Domestic Church program. This is why we started our Faith and Action Initiative. These programs deserve the attention of every council. And so does our powerful new video series, Into the Breach. Today I ask that every council promote these programs. During this pandemic, when Catholics are spending more time than ever at home, our programs to build up the church of the home are needed more than ever. Our history is one of which we can all be proud. Today, nearly every jurisdiction can boast 100 years of fraternity and charity. This year marks another milestone in the history of the order, 100 years of charitable service in Rome to the successor of Peter. Recently, the supreme officers and supreme directors traveled to the Eternal City, where Pope Francis received us in a private audience. That pilgrimage commemorated the first Knights of Columbus audience with Pope Benedict XV in 1920. In his message to us, Pope Francis praised our faithful witness in defense of life, our support for persecuted Christians, and all our charitable efforts. And he also thanked us, and now I quote him, for our unswerving devotion to the successor of Peter. And I would ask you to pay particular attention to these words of Pope Francis. He said, "In our world, marked by divisions and inequalities, the generous commitment of your order to serve all in need offers, especially to young people, an important inspiration to overcome a globalization of indifference and build together a more just and inclusive society. I also believe that every bishop in your jurisdiction could say the same about your work. My brother Knights, the Knights of Columbus is needed today more than ever before, not only to confront and overcome the coronavirus pandemic, but to protect our church and to ensure a future of faith for our children and our grandchildren. My sincere hope is that, amidst all these challenges, we grow closer to one another and to the Lord, and that each of us will live more profoundly our principles of charity, unity, and fraternity, and that we will live lives, as Pope Francis has said, worthy of the high call that God has given us. May the Venerable Father McGivney and Our Lady of Guadalupe pray for us all. Viva Jesus."
Thank you, worthy Supreme Knight, for your message and leadership. We are very pleased and honored to have Deputy Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly participating in our meeting today as a Supreme Council representative. And at this time, I call on Brother Patrick for his message.
Thank you, worthy State Deputy Keller. It's a real honor for me to speak with you and your state team and all the Knights of the great state of Utah on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. As the Supreme Rep to your convention, I bring greetings from the Supreme Council, but more than that, I bring our gratitude. As you just heard from the Supreme Knight, we are thankful for the leadership of the Utah Knights. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, you were leaders in so many ways, and especially in charity. The Supreme Knight mentioned many of our accomplishments as an order. Insurance sold, dollars donated, hours volunteered, unborn lives saved, and hearts changed. Behind these numbers are the many contributions of Knights throughout the state of Utah. You and the men you represent gave over $164,000 and nearly 423,000 service hours to charity over the past year. Stories of the good works of knights and councils across Utah have made their way to Supreme. The pro-life work of Bishop Scanlon Assembly 2393 in St. George was recognized when they presented the silver rose to a mother and a child at St. George Catholic Church in the past year. Utah Knights collected stuffed animals from parishes in the Salt Lake Valley, gathering over 3,000 stuffed animals to be delivered by emergency personnel and victim advocates to children in crisis. St. Olaf Council 5502 in Bountiful continued sponsoring their quarterly dinners for veterans and families at the Salt Lake City Fisher House, an organization that provides military families a place to stay while their loved ones are being treated. And more recently, during the pandemic, Father Stephen Tilley, chaplain of Mother Teresa of Calcutta Council 12181 in Draper, heard confessions from his Jeep Wrangler. So on behalf of the Supreme Council, I applaud the Utah Knights for this work and for all your charitable work. But this commitment you have to charity shines even brighter in a time of pandemic. You have all experienced that the needs of your councils, parishes, and communities have multiplied in the past 2 months. But so have your efforts to meet those needs. From groceries delivered to monetary donations, from calling the isolated to comforting those who grieve, from blood drives to food banks, in so many ways, large and small, you have shown the best of the order. You have acted not out of regard for self, but out of a deep desire to serve and sacrifice for the sake of others. And that's what I'd like to address this morning. Not so much what we do, but who we are as Catholic men and as Knights of Columbus. It has been said that circumstances reveal men, and that's true. When times are tough, you see what a man is made of, whether he's weak or strong, whether he's selfish or selfless. But I would take that phrase a step further. Yes, it is true that circumstances reveal men, but these are not normal circumstances. We are living in a time of crisis, and a crisis reveals knights. As knights, what is our duty during this difficult time? The answer can be found in the new exemplification ceremony. There, we hear that a knight is, and I quote, willing to sacrifice himself for others, especially the weak and the poor. My brothers, that is the essence of our calling, not just to be men, but to be men for others. Our job is to be the steady pillars of the church, our parishes, our communities, and even our country. And the second aspect of our unique calling is to be leaders of men. If not us, who? Our parishes and our families need us like never before. This was true before the pandemic, but it's even more true now. And that's what Leave No Neighbor Behind, our program, is all about. With millions of people cut off from their normal lives, and so many finding themselves suddenly unemployed, they're casting about for a helping hand to assist them through this difficult time. This is what the Knights were founded to do, to strengthen Catholic men and Catholic families. We are the leaders who families can count on. We are the leaders who they can trust. When our friends, families, and neighbors look at us, they should see someone who will find a way or make a way to get the job done. Someone who will step into the breach and stay in the breach until the battle is won. And why is that? Because we are grounded in something higher than ourselves. We lead because we rely on the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. We rise to every challenge because we are men on a mission. Our Christian witness is everything in this moment of crisis. And our ability to lead is a direct reflection of our willingness to serve. And now, more than ever, we are called to put our faith into action. We do so by meeting the needs of those around us. We must go where the vulnerable are and not wait for them to come to us. Our greatest witness is our willingness to be men for others, to go the extra mile, to be there for the sick, the needy, the worried, and the forgotten. The truth is, more people are suffering today than at any point in most of our lifetimes. In this moment, we are called to step into that breach and to reach out to those most in need. With assistance, yes, but also with hearts of gratitude and with words of hope and encouragement. Of course, you all know this, and in so many ways you are already leading the way as Knights of Columbus and as Catholic men and as followers of Christ. Your witness serves as an inspiration to me and to the many others around you. As this crisis continues, I encourage you to lean on each other and to lean on us. Use the resources provided by the Supreme Council. We are here to help you in your work. As the Supreme Knight mentioned, we are providing timely spiritual resources and launching new initiatives, such as our Into the Breach video series, the Faith in Action program model, and, as I have said, our Leave No Neighbor Behind initiative. Remember, we are here to encourage you and to amplify your efforts for the good of others and for the greater glory of God. These are challenging times, but there is also reason for great hope. The day is coming when this pandemic will pass, and when it does, our work will not be over. We are called to be leaders in all things and at all times. And so, our sense of mission and our purpose must not fade. Instead, it must grow stronger. At Supreme, we are resolved that the witness of the Knights of Columbus will only grow stronger. You and all the Knights of Utah give us confidence that this is the case and that the order will continue to flourish. And as the Supreme Knight said, I truly believe this will be among our finest hours. And if this is our foundation, then imagine the heights that we can reach in the days and the decades ahead. Father McGivney would be proud of you, and it is my privilege to call you Brother Knights. And together, with the Supreme Knight and the entire Supreme Council, I thank you for stepping into the breach today and in the days ahead. Thank you. Viva Jesus, and I now yield the floor back to the worthy State Deputy.
Thank you very much, Deputy Supreme Knight Zachary Kelly, for your message and for being with us today. At this time, I call on our State Chaplain, the Very Reverend Eric Rickstein, for his report to the meeting. Father Eric.
My dear brothers, it's been a rather odd Easter, has it not? But during this time of darkness in some ways, the light of Christ and his gospel shows even more brightly. And I'd like to thank you all for allowing your light to shine. And this thanks is not just from me, but it's from my brother priests and for our Bishop Solis. The Knights have really stepped up during this time of corona theme. And have helped so many of us in so many different ways. You know, particularly I was thinking of how many different councils helped their parish on Palm Sunday to make sure that people had access to the blessed palms. And that made a lasting impression. And I know that there are things that don't make the press that are being done every day. And every moment of every day, not just to help the order, but to help our parishes and to help our diocese and help our communities. So thank you very much for being that living sign of Christian faith and Christian charity to the state of Utah.
And I've encouraged you to continue reaching out, because as this thing draws on, even though we're starting to get a little bit of opening, it's really difficult for a lot of people, particularly those who can't go anywhere or who feel isolated. So be creative. Think of all the different ways that you could do this. It's been observed that we, in wartime, we don't get to fight with the army we want. We get to fight with the army that we have. And we don't get to fight on the battlefield we want. We get to fight on the battlefield we have. And so our Lord has given us this time and this place to live out his gospel. And so just ask for his help and do what you can, and realize that you may initially think that something is weird and it's never going to happen. And, you know, we couldn't do this, but we can do it. And we can step up to the plate and really be helpers in spreading the gospel among those who are most in need, as our Supreme Knight and Deputy Supreme Knight said. I'd like to remind you all that the God is always present, you know, even though we can't always go to Mass, we can pray. And it reminds me of one of my classmates at the seminary, Father Tien. Father Tien was a monk of Mount Angel, but before that, he had been a seminarian in the minor seminary in Vietnam during the fall of Saigon. When the communists took over, the seminaries were closed and they were sent home. Well, Father Tien and his brother both resolved to pursue their vocations, and they knew that they had to get out of Vietnam. So they went to they were going to get on a boat, and they were caught by the authorities, and his brother was shot on the beach. He survived and recovered. But both of them were sentenced to a year in solitary confinement. If you ask Tien about what it was like, he said, "Oh, it was wonderful. It taught me how to pray." Just in awe with that kind of faith. But God, he knew that God was present with him. And eventually he was able to get, as soon as he was released, he got on another boat. And after spending time fighting off pirates and all sorts of other things, the passengers of his boat were rescued by the Filipino Navy on Easter Sunday. And he came to the United States and he became a priest, and he passed away from cancer a few years ago, but his example, I think, is one for all of us, that wherever we find ourselves, the Lord is always with us. And so realize that you're always in my prayers, and if there's anything I can do to help you, please contact me in any way that you can. Kibot business.
Thank you, Father Eric. Your comments are inspirational and are greatly appreciated. I would like at this time to call upon our General Agent, Ken Heward, for his address to the delegates. Brother Ken.
Worthy State Deputy, State Officers, Reverend Father, Supreme Representative, and Brother Knights, thank you for giving me the time to address you briefly during this historical virtual convention. This is an unprecedented time for all of us. And on behalf of all the agents, myself, please be assured, first and foremost, our agency's thoughts and prayers for you and your families are first. An agent's primary role is to be there for his brothers, so please do not hesitate to reach out to us if there's any way we can help you during this time. I want to assure you that our agency and all Knights of Columbus business and charitable functions are operational. Agents have transitioned to now meeting and conducting business with members via Skype. This transition has been a great convenience for members. We are finding that both members and agents are really enjoying this new experience, and we're excited to incorporate that into our standard practices once we move past this pandemic. The Supreme Council has shifted its business operations too, and have been working remotely since mid-March. This is a time, I know, when many of you have more financial concerns than usual. Maybe you're concerned about volatility. Maybe you need help to have access of more of your cash that's tied up in other places. Maybe you're thinking about adding insurance. Maybe you're looking for a new career. As always, Knights of Columbus stand ready, by design, by Father McGivney himself, to help protect your financial future. Just this past month, at the height of the economic uncertainty brought upon by the coronavirus, S&P Global Ratings published a report showing that the Knights of Columbus is being tied for the most financially strong life insurer in all of North America. That's a reality made possible only by our strong Catholic guiding principles and by the tremendous support and trust that you show us each and every year. If we didn't have those things, we'd never be able to weather storms like these, where trusted partners are needed more than ever. So as we turn the page, God willing, from this moment and to the next, I want to personally invite you to have a conversation with us. I want to personally thank you, and especially your state officers, for their support and their collaboration this past year. You know we are all paternalists, just as the successes of our insurance business ought to be points of pride for all of us. We are so incredibly proud of the work that all of you do to help support our church and our communities. You are a beacon of God's joy and God's charity to Utah, and we are honored to work with you and for you. We are excited to tackle this next fraternal year together. I'll close with a personal observation. I ask all of our members to contact us, sit down with us, let us review any kind of insurance or any kind of questions that you may have, especially during this epidemic and the financial crisis that we're running into. We're here for you. Give us a call, reach out, and we'll be there. Thank you for your time. I hope to see you all soon, and viva Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Kent, and your field agents for helping us take care of our families both now and into the future. At this time, I call upon our State Secretary for the report of the Credentials Committee.
In reviewing the list of delegates based on information provided by our councils and cross-checking this with the members that have joined us today for this virtual meeting, I have the following number of delegates to report. 6 state officers, 1 immediate past state deputy, 46 delegates. That leaves us with 53 total voting delegates.
Thank you, Brother Nick. Without objection, the roll of delegates submitted by the Credentials Committee will be the official roll of voting members for this state meeting. Without objection, the rules will be suspended and the following shortened order of business will be adopted. We've already completed the major events leading to this point, and now we will proceed with the following topics. Approval of the 2019 State Convention Minutes. Reports of committees. Reports of state officers and program chairmen. Nomination and election of state officers. Nomination and election of alternate delegates to the Supreme Council. Consideration of resolutions. And at this point, we have had no considerations of amendments to the State Council bylaws. And under new business, we will talk about the 2020-2021 annual budget. We will have a closing prayer, and we will adjourn. At this time, we will proceed with the approval of the minutes of the 2019 State Convention, which have been distributed prior to the State Convention by our State Secretary, Nick Nielsen. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, there being no further corrections to the minutes, the 2019 minutes are approved. Now, we will proceed with the report of committees. As the various reports of the committees have been distributed prior to the State Convention by our State Secretary, without objection, they will be accepted as written and included in this year's minutes. Let us move on to the report of officers and programs. Also, as the various reports of the state officers and program chairman have been distributed prior to the state convention by our state programs director, Ryan Gravely, in the annual convention report, without objection, they will be accepted as written and included in this year's minutes. And at this time, I have a big shout-out to our convention committee led by District Deputy Number 10, Pete Abercrombie. The committee had everything planned for this year's state convention before we were shut down due to COVID-19 restrictions. However, The convention book was still assembled and printed. Thank you to Fusey Printing for assembling and printing the book with no charge to the state. The distribution of the convention books is planned for the organization meeting in late June. And because there were limited expenses incurred by the committee before the live convention was canceled, and a majority of the donors and contributors let their donations stay with the committee, those remaining donations will be provided to the bishop for the diocesan development drive to help worthy causes across the state. I will ask our state secretary if there has been any update to the report of the credentials committee.
Thank you, worthy state deputy. The number of delegates has not changed. We still have 6 state officers, 1 immediate past state deputy, 46 delegates, leaving us with a total of 53 voting delegates.
Thank you, worthy state secretary. We will now proceed to the election of officers for the 2020-2021 fraternal year. Please note, nominations previously submitted to me will be considered as seconded nominations made to the floor for consideration of that respective position. It is important that voting delegates follow the instructions on how to vote. The voting will be anonymous. The system that we are using records the votes, but does not show how that particular delegate voted. Remember that only credentialed delegates and past state deputies have rights to the floor, and you must be recognized to speak. If someone with the proper credentials wishes to speak, please hit *3 on your phone, and you will be placed in the queue. Note that you may be contacted so that we may know your intention to alert me when to recognize you. Please do not mute your phone. Nominations presented from the floor today will be restricted to the straightforward format as follows. My name is Joe Delegate, council number, and I nominate Jim Knight for the position of state fill in the blank. Even though we are using an electronic polling system for the vote, in case of an unforeseen issue, I have appointed immediate past state deputy Candy Aries as the judge. As noted in various communications I have sent the past 2 weeks, and in the guidelines distributed and posted on our state council website, the following nomination was submitted for the position of state deputy, Nick Nielsen. Are there any other nominations for the office of state deputy? Are there any other nominations for the office of state deputy? Are there any other nominations for the office of state deputy? Nominations are closed. Since there are no other nominations, without objection, the state secretary will cast 1 ballot for Nick Nielsen for the state deputy for a 1-year term commencing July 1, 2020. Congratulations, Brother Nick. We will now move into the state secretary election. Again, as noted in various communications I have sent the past couple weeks, in the guidelines distributed and posted on our state council website, the following nomination was submitted for the position of state secretary, Bill Kelly. Are there any other nominations for the office of state secretary? Are there any other nominations for the office of state secretary? Are there any other nominations for the office of state secretary? Nominations are closed. Since there are no other nominations, without objection, the state secretary will cast 1 ballot for Bill Kelly for state secretary for a 1-year term commencing July 1, 2020. Congratulations, Brother Bill. The next item of business will be the state's treasurer election. As noted in various communications I have sent the past couple weeks and posted on the state website, the following nomination was submitted for the position of state treasurer, Ryan Gravely. Are there any other nominations for the office of state treasurer? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Treasurer? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Treasurer? Nominations are closed. Since there are no other nominations, without objection, the State Secretary will cast one ballot for Ryan Gravely for State Treasurer for a one-year term commencing July 1, 2020. Congratulations, Brother Ryan. Next election will be for State Advocate. Once again, as noted in various communications over the last couple weeks and in the guidelines posted on our State Council website, the following nomination was submitted for the position of State Advocate, Frank Carmona. Are there any other nominations for the office of State Advocate? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Advocate? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Advocate? Nominations are closed. Since there are no other nominations, without objection, the State Secretary will cast one ballot for Frank Carmona for State Advocate for the one-year term beginning July 1, 2020. Congratulations, Brother Frank. Finally, as noted in various communications I have sent the last couple weeks and the guidelines distributed and posted on our State Council website, the following nominations were submitted for the position of State Warden, Alex Terzon and Michael Derrick. Are there any other nominations for the office of State Warden? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Warden? Are there any other nominations for the office of State Warden? Nominations are closed. At this time, we will proceed to the balloting for the position of State Warden. Balloting will be open for 2 minutes. Press 1 for Alex Terzon or press 2 for Michael Derrick. Once again, press 1 for Alex Terzon or press 2 for Michael Derrick. Please note that if you feel you selected the wrong number, re-vote, and the application will record it accordingly. We have 1 minute and 30 seconds left. Once again, we're voting for State Warden. The two nominees are Alex Terzon and Michael Derrick. Press 1 for Alex Terzon and press 2 for Michael Derrick. And once again, if you feel you selected the wrong number, just re-vote and the application will record it accordingly. You have 1 minute left. They're voting for the position of State Warden. If you just come in, it's press 1 on your phone for Alex Terzon or press 2 for Michael Derrick. If you feel you've selected the wrong number, just re-vote and the application will record it accurately. We have 30 seconds left. Once again, press 1 for Alex Terzon or press 2 for Michael Derrick. Balloting has been completed. Balloting has been completed and the tally confirmed. I now call upon our State Secretary for the results.
Thank you, worthy state deputy. With a total of 50 ballots cast, the majority of the votes went to Alex Terrazon, who will be our state warden for a one-year term commencing July 1st, 2020.
Thank you, worthy state secretary, and congratulations, brother Alex. Now that the state officer elections have been completed, we still have some more business to do. I wanted to start out by saying when we started the planning for this convention, Utah was entitled to 3 delegates to attend the annual Supreme Convention. Your state deputy and the immediate past state deputy are automatic delegates. However, due to the large number of members suspended this year, we have now fallen below the minimum membership threshold allowing the 3rd associate delegate. The state was informed by Supreme Secretary on the 30th of June, stating the Utah State Council is currently entitled to 0 insurance delegates and 0 associate delegates. This is a step backwards in Utah's representation at the Supreme Council, which is based on the state's total membership as of 1 April 2020. Okay, so now the councils have cleaned their books, and the only way to go is up. Let us strive to take advantage of bringing more knights into the order using our new tools of online membership and online exemplifications. But we're not done yet, Ms. Brothers. This year has plenty of time to go, and we still have plenty of opportunities to bring in new brothers. I'm looking forward to rebuilding next year and to carry on the great work of the Knights in Utah. Let us all take advantage of an active role in growing our councils. Now, let us move into the election of alternate delegates to the 138th annual meeting of the Supreme Council, currently scheduled for the first week of August in Washington, D.C. Let us start with the alternate to the state deputy. As noted in previous communications I sent out in the past 2 weeks and in the guidelines distributed and posted on the State Council website, the following nomination was submitted for the alternate delegate to the state deputy. Past state deputy, Chuck Dover, Jr. Are there any other nominations for the alternate to the state deputy? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Nominations are closed. Since there are no more nominees than the positions to be filled, without objection, the state secretary is directed to cast one ballot for the following delegate, past state deputy Chuck Dover, Jr. Let us continue with the nomination for the alternate to the immediate past state deputy. As noted in previous communications I have sent in the past couple weeks and the guidelines distributed and posted on the State Council website, the following nominee was submitted for the alternate delegate to the immediate past state deputy. Past state deputy, Andy Aries. Are there any other nominations for the alternate to the immediate past state deputy? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, nominations are closed. Since there are no more nominees in the position to be filled, without objection, the state secretary is directed to cast one ballot for the following delegate, immediate past state deputy, Andy Aries. I now ask that the two alternate delegates please email the state secretary with your full name, the membership number, your council number, your date of birth, and phone number. The state secretary's email is statesecretary@utahknights.org. Thank you. At this time, we will proceed with this year's 9 resolutions, which were previously provided to the Utah leaders and reviewed and updated by the Resolutions Committee. For the bill,
Bertie Supreme Representative Father Eric, my brother Knights. About 2 weeks ago, we conducted a committee meeting, and we approved the resolutions that I hope all of you had the opportunity to review. We had no amendments to any of our bylaws. As everyone's aware, we recently published in January an updated bylaw pamphlet. If any of you have not received that pamphlet, just let me know. I was hoping, I have a box here, I was hoping when we met in person that I would be able to catch up with your councils and give you your pamphlets. But it looks like we're going to have to defer that or send it out in the mail. So without, do we have any objections to the resolutions that have been proposed by the committee? Do we have any objections to the resolutions proposed by the resolutions committee? Do we have any objections to the resolutions proposed by the resolution committee? I'll wait 30 seconds to see if I get anything on the screen here. Hearing no objections, 40 State Deputy, I move that we cast one unanimous ballot for the adoption of the resolutions as published and distributed to the councils of Utah.
For the State Advocate, the recommendation of the Resolutions Committee is adopted. Thank you. And thank you, Worthy State Advocate Bill, for chairing the Resolutions Committee. Let us proceed to new business. A new business topic is the adoption of the 2020-2021 fraternal year budget for the State Council. As the budget has been distributed previously and approved by the Budget Committee, without objection, it will be accepted as presented and included in this year's minutes. Thank you, Worthy State Treasurer Matt, for chairing the Budget Committee. Thank you, Worthy State Secretary, and now State Deputy-elect Nick, for your diligence preparing for this virtual convention and chairing the Credentials Committee. Is there any other business to come before the convention? You can hit star 3 and be put in the queue. Seeing that no one has any further business to come before this convention, I will now call upon our state chaplain, Father Eric, to lead us in the prayer for the canonization of the Venerable Father Michael J. McGivney. Father Eric.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O God, our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and orphan, you called your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of the Christian family, life, and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbors. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the Church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask to glorify your venerable servant, Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth, according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor which I now present through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father Eric, for spending your time with us this afternoon. And congratulations to the new state officers next year. The next major meeting and gathering of the Utah State Council will hopefully be the organization meeting in late June at St. Olaf's in Bountiful. Since there is no other business, This meeting is adjourned. I thank everyone for your patience and time this afternoon. Thanks for your participation, and take care of yourself and your neighbor. God bless, and viva Jesus. Good afternoon.
Good job, guys.
Thank you, Ray.
Great job, everybody.
Well, God bless and take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Do we need to do anything else?
Well, the state deputy can end the call whenever he'd like.